This is Paul McGuire. We are in a coronavirus pandemic on a global level. It's affecting the United States of America considerably, as just about every other nation on planet Earth. And it has impacted our nation in myriad ways, beyond the mere contamination and infection caused by the coronavirus. We have people dying. We have people getting sick. We have people having associated diseases and dying. And many good efforts are being made to fight it, but the overarching problem that is as dangerous, if not in the long term, more dangerous than the coronavirus, is an emotional contagion which we can describe as fear. Fear, on a psychological level, can spread just as dangerously as a virus. Fear can function as a contagion. It's simply an emotional contagion, and an emotional contagion can spread virally, just like a coronavirus contagion can spread virally. When we use our computers and social media, we often talk about, well, this video went viral, or this went viral, or that went viral. And that's always referring to a video or some other social media thing that we put up there, and it catches on, and it's growth and spreading. As people share the link, it spreads exponentially, and the expression is, it went viral. In the same way a disease like the coronavirus can go viral, the psychological emotion of fear and the spiritual force of fear can spread across a state, a city, a community, any particular subculture, any nation. It can spread. Fear can spread like an emotional contagion, and fear can spread like a deadly virus. Now, when fear subjugates a nation, just like a disease, or if fear enters into the supernatural Church of Jesus Christ, we have to remember that the root source of fear is spiritual. We can never forget that the root cause of fear is spiritual. The first time fear was experienced in the history of mankind, the first time fear was experienced in the history of the world, was when Adam and Eve decided to reject God's commandment, listen to Lucifer speaking to them through the serpent of old in the Garden of Eden or Paradise. And when they chose to disobey God, instantaneously, They tripped a cosmic switch and activated the law of sin and death. And then everybody began to become mortal and die, and sickness and disease and all the rest of that stuff came upon the human race. And theologically, it's referred to as the fall of mankind. Now, what was the first emotion or the first emotions experienced by Adam and Eve after they were instantaneously aware that they were fallen? First of all, they were afraid. Adam was afraid. Adam had never experienced fear before in his entire life. Fear was not even something that was in the realm of Adam or Eve's understanding, because they'd never experienced it before. It was a completely alien force or feeling, fear. But they were afraid, and Adam was afraid because he knew that he had done wrong. He knew that he had activated the law of sin and death, and he knew it haunted him. In the depths of his soul, he knew he was in big trouble with God. He knew he was in big trouble with God. And so when God, who was their friend and used to walk with them together in the Garden of Eden, came near them, God knew, of course, everything. God's omniscient. He knew instantly what they did. But he asked Adam, because he could tell Adam was afraid. Not only was Adam afraid and terrified, Adam was ashamed, as Eve was ashamed. Emotions they never experienced before. They were ashamed that they were naked. They were aware that they were naked. Before that, they were innocent. And now they were experiencing the energy, the spiritual force of fear, and the psychological impact of fear. Fear is a crippling force. If you read the Bible, okay, not like some religious lunatic, but if you read the Bible as a student, if you read the Bible from a scientific, philosophical, psychological, social, geopolitical, judicial, genetic, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you read the Bible in all its multidimensional fullness, you will discover that the Bible unpacks this word fear, because this word fear is more than a psychological flux of thoughts. Fear is more than a biochemical reaction in the brain. Fear is an actual spiritual force. And Lucifer, who initiated the fall of mankind, and Lucifer, let's remember, according to the Word of God, is the was the highest level angel, God's right-hand man, a super angel. But Lucifer was not happy being God's right-hand man. Lucifer wanted to be God, and so Lucifer, or Satan, has led a rebellion against God to initiate a regime change, and it's the goal of Lucifer to overthrow the throne room and kingdom of God, and Lucifer desires to sit on God's throne and have all the world worship him as God. Now, Lucifer will receive partial fulfillment of that agenda, because he's not going to capture the ultimate throne room of God in heaven, but he will, for a seven-year period, he will inhabit the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and he will demand that the entire world worships him as God. And then, of course, they will be recipients of the Mark of the Beast technology. So that's called the abomination of desolation, when Lucifer temporarily sits in the throne room of God in the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem and demands that the world worships him as God. Thus, he's functioning as the Antichrist. He indwells the Antichrist. Notice that every Luciferian or evil kingdom or evil ruler or evil group, if you want to know a prime identifying factor of every evil nation, every evil government, every evil group, every evil individual that has ever existed, one of the quickest ways to determine whether that group, that organizational entity, or whoever, one of the quickest ways to determine whether or not that group or entity or individual is good or benevolent is to examine their actions and their policies and determine if they're using fear as their primary force in ruling over other people, and if they're using fear as the primary spiritual energy or force to control their cult, their false religion, their dictatorial government, their totalitarian regime, or the evil that exists in certain people and families and stuff, even like the mafia, okay? It runs by fear. The former KGB and the current secret police of Russia runs by fear. Whenever you see a regime, a government, or an institution controlling and dominating and oppressing the people, if they are using the demonic, satanic force of fear, that tells you that they have sold their souls collectively. They have given themselves over to like Star Wars, the dark side of the Force. I know there's limitations in that comparison, but for the sake of making a populist teaching of the Bible, I'm going to use that despite its limitations. So, Look, right, when Adam and Eve fell, Lucifer became the temporary god of this world. How, by what power does Lucifer rule this world? He rules it, first and foremost, by the spiritual force of raw fear. Every satanic kingdom is built on fear. He rules it through lies and deception and seduction, but he also primarily rules it by fear. So whenever you see an organizational flowchart in a corporation or in a mafia or the gang or a gang, you know, a bad gang like MS-13 or some evil military or some evil totalitarian regime or some sick cult, you know, I don't want to get into it, but you've heard of the sex cult. I forgot what it's called. But there was a booming, and still is, it probably went underground, booming sex cult. And the cult leader coerced, you know, attractive, better than average intelligence, better than average education. Most often they came from wealthy families. And somehow this guy was able to coerce them to become part of his sex cult, and he dominated their lives. It wasn't sex that he used to control them. It was fear. Okay? Charles Manson, he ruled his family, his cult, by fear. Every cult rules its cult members by fear. The communist nations rule by fear. Communist China rules by fear. So whenever fear is the energizing force, you know that it is running on satanic energy. Very important to understand. It's running on satanic energy. So the opposite of fear is faith. Is faith. So as Lucifer attempts to lock down this world and enslave this world as we move into the tribulation period, as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ, as Bible prophecy is unfilled, we recognize that God placed us here on this earth for a reason. You know, coronavirus or no coronavirus, God called you before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this. That doesn't mean that the coronavirus interrupted that truth. God called you to be here for such a time as this because he equipped you to withstand and be an overcomer of these various trials. So as we move into Bible prophecy, and I believe with all my heart that God has a prophetic call on the nation of America. God has a prophetic destiny on the nation of America. God has a prophetic destiny and call on your life. That prophetic destiny from God for America, for people in other nations, on your life, is not interrupted by the coronavirus. Is not interrupted by the spirit and force of fear. So as believers in Jesus Christ, one of the primary things that we need to do is engage in spiritual warfare, which simply means we use what the Apostle Paul called the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Fear ultimately embeds a series of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a thought, a belief, an ideology that somebody holds inside themselves. But these beliefs, these ideologies, these programs that exist inside people are not just human, of human origin. They are satanically energized thoughts, ideologies, and belief systems. And the reason we know that they're driven by satanic energy, thus their strongholds, is because one of the characteristics of people who have been captured by strongholds, run by the juice of satanic energy, is that these people who are captured by the satanic force are capable of believing the most ridiculous, irrational, absurd, insane concepts that if they were in their right mind, they would reject. I love the way my computer never talks to me, but then talks to me in the middle of this. So what? We're going to keep going. So the key is to break the spirit of fear, because in all Luciferian kingdoms, it's fear. Look at the old movies of the Nazis and Adolf Hitler. He ran it by fear. He was involved in the occult. His fellow generals thought he was demon-possessed. Hitler ran Nazi Germany on fear. Lenin, the communist leader, Stalin, the communist leader, led hundreds of millions of Russians under the spirit of fear. Communist China to this day runs their nation via a spirit of fear. Okay? In contrast, in America, on the Liberty Bell, it says this: where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So the way we contrast some entity or group controlled by the spirit of fear, which is a Luciferian spirit, when we contrast it with something created by the spirit of God, such as America, America's robust, unique freedoms, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble. We have so many freedoms, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They all come from the truth of God's word. They're not based on fear. They're based on the Holy Spirit of God and truth. And so on the Liberty Bell, it says that that where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed, there is liberty or freedom. What that means, if we analyze it deeper, where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to flourish, dominate, be put, not dominate, that's a bad word, where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to flourish, be poured out, infill, inspire, energize, where the Spirit of the Lord is invited and given permission to dwell by an individual or a culture, the result is it always produces unbelievable liberty and freedom and happiness and joy. It's because the Spirit of the Lord motivated and energized our founding fathers to declare such truth as, for the Creator, capital C, has given us certain inalienable rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Inalienable simply means that it is God that gives us these wonderful rights, and no government has the right to give it to us or to take it away from us. You see how over and over again, when a nation or a people invites the Spirit of the Lord to dwell among them, there is always freedom and healing. And when people summon the spirit of fear for the purposes of power and control, there is always death, destruction, and evil. So what are we to do in the middle of the coronavirus as members of the supernatural body of Christ? What is our assignment? And I want to say something to you personally. You were called for this time by God. You're here by design. So am I. It's not an accident that you're watching me on social media or video with this message. It's not an accident that somehow you came across this message, because God has something for you to hear. Not because of some brilliance of mine, but because I'm basing what I'm sharing with you out of His Word. I'm simply translating His Word and applying it to the moment. That's all I'm doing. So, if America is captured and subjugated by fear, it will be conquered. Communism and entities of darkness, whether it's the mafia, a gang, communism, fascism, or whatever, they all proceed like serpents using fear and bringing darkness until they enslave everybody. Yeah. The only way we can turn that around is that we use, in the last days, as God's supernatural church, We use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, because people are not just thinking about things. Analyze what's happening in our nation. All the turmoil, all the confusion. It's because people are not thinking in their rational, God-given minds. They're being manipulated in their thoughts. Things like racial division is being subtly manipulated. Things like fear is being manipulated. There are so many ideas and emotional contagions that are developed by, yes, conspiracies of evil men who have access to science and technology where they know how to proliferate fear and dominate and control people. They pit one against another. So the way we conquer this spirit of fear, because it's an irrational fear. The reason people believe in communism and socialism is not because they have rationally calculated whether it works or not. I have never met in my life a socialist, communist, and Marxist, and I've met plenty of them and I've talked to plenty of them. I have never met one yet who could give me a logical, scientific, economic, historical reason that provides proof that communism, socialism, and Marxism work. In fact, all the evidence points that it's a nightmare. So why do people still believe in it? Because when push comes to shove, they're not believing in communism, Marxism, and socialism out of a logical, linear mind. They're believing in it based on the satanic, Luciferian strongholds of thought and ideology that have been programmed into their minds through a process called scientific mind control, which the communist movement and other movements are fully aware of. Now, let us remember that scientific mind control really is part science and largely occultism, because scientific mind control began in ancient Babylon, ancient Egypt, and ancient occultic societies. Scientific mind control uses fear to dominate. Fear is a force. So the Word of God tells us that we are to use the weapons of our warfare, which are mighty through God, to pulling down strongholds. Remember, this is not just the problem with American Christians is they love intellectual debates. Here we have the atheist intellectual, here we have the Christian intellectual on any given subject, and they will debate, and whoever is intellectually superior in the debate must be right. Look, there is a very deep need for apologists and a robust intellectual defense for the gospel. I totally support that. It's absolutely necessary. But we can't stop there. We have to remember that the deeper problem we're dealing with, and this is why we haven't seen the change that we would like to see, is that we're always dealing with people at the head level, the cerebral level, and we're never removing the strongholds which lie beneath the surface of their conscious mind and are actually forms of cybernetic programming with an occult code. So, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we implement the weapons of our warfare? Rational intellectual debates will not dismantle supernatural strongholds in people's minds. How many of you have done what I have done? I have debated somebody who believes in abortion. I've given them all the facts over and over again. They've seen the pictures. From every logical, rational perspective, it's obvious that the child in the womb is a viable child. And you can't just say arbitrarily that the minute the baby leaves the womb, it stops being a fetus and now it's an authentic child. But they rewrote those rules. Now you can be an authentic baby, which they call a fetus. A woman gives full term birth to the baby, and now outside of the womb they arbitrarily call a 100% bona fide real life living baby, they still call it a fetus, even though it's living independently out of the mom's womb, and then they kill it. Why is that? Why is it you can use all the logic, all the pictures, all the common sense, people who would normally be rational and see the obvious, for some mysterious reason, cannot see the obvious when it comes to certain key areas like abortion? What is that that keeps their minds chained and captured? This is what it is. Beneath the surface of their conscious mind, they have allowed satanic strongholds to be embedded in the deepest parts of their personality. Remember, a satanic stronghold is a satanically energized argument. So this is not just some set of intellectual precepts and perceptions. This is a collection of ideas, philosophies, ideologies, and perceptions that are hyper-amplified with incredible electromagnetic field energy, whose origination point is satanic power. Okay? How do we defeat that in the last days? How do we defeat the coronavirus? This is how we defeat it. We use the weapons of our warfare, not mere intellectual weapons. We use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So God tells us the way we eradicate and remove the strongholds, the way we destroy the strongholds and replace them with truth, which will yield us revival, which will yield us a massive last day soul harvest where hundreds of millions of people will come to the Lord if we remove the strongholds. What we must do is use the weapons of our warfare. What are the weapons of our warfare? The weapons of our warfare, for starters, the Apostle Paul talked about when he told us to put on the full armor of God. When the Apostle Paul told us also in Ephesians, for our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The Apostle Paul is saying, you need to look deeper and be multidimensionally perceptive as you engage in spiritual warfare, because the Apostle Paul is highly sophisticated, and he's saying, for our fight is not against flesh and blood. So that means stop fighting against people, governments, politicians, groups, and human individuals. Stop fighting people, for our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is against principalities, against powers, against the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That means our battleground, our enemy, what we need to target with spiritual weapons is the invisible realm, the spiritual world, another dimension where spiritual conflict exists. We're to bring the battle into the zone of the supernatural and the spiritual world. Once we have invaded the spiritual world with supernatural power and the authority of God's word, then we can uproot the strongholds, we can bind the strong man, because after all, the strong man is Satan. And the strong man is the one in charge of keeping all the strongholds energized. But if we bind the strong man with the weapons of our warfare, which are spiritual weapons from God, we can bind the strong man. How do we bind the strong man? We use our authority in Christ. We can bind actively through agreeing prayer and the words we declare. In the name of Jesus, I command these demonic powers to be bound and flee in the name of Jesus. You may not say that out loud. You may say it silently or at home. You need to use wisdom. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray against the spiritual deception of communism. And you can name nations and people that are succumbing to it. And Jesus, I pray that you would open their eyes by the power of the Holy Spirit and that you would set them free from this captivity, because it is captivity. It's slavery. So fasting, praying, intercessory prayer warfare, preaching the gospel, communicating the truth based on God's word, these are the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God. We have the sword of the spirit. We're not supposed to be using the metallic sword and hacking physical people with our sword. It's the sword of the spirit. It's the only offensive weapon in the full armor of God. We use the sword of the spirit, which is we wield the word of God like an offensive weapon, not against people, but we destroy the demonic powers and the principality and powers. We sever the attaching cords of that are keeping strongholds in people. And sometimes strongholds are due to either demonic externalization, or what is known theologically as demonization, where demons control, but from the outside of an individual. It's possible for Christians who cannot be demon possessed, but it is possible for some Christians who are disobedient and rebelling to the Lord, it's possible for them to be demonized. Okay? They're not possessed, but they're demonized. And then finally, there are some people who are not Christians. They may call themselves Christians, but there are some people, because they're not truly born again, they are possessed to varying degrees, and or at least possessed to the extent that there's a possession or a satanic energy keeping the strongholds and ideologies they believe in alive. That's why people can believe in the most insane things. You watch these documentaries and stuff of this guru in Oregon, and I don't know, what do you have, 25 Rolls Royces, and these people follow him like a god. And he had the occultic supernatural power of placing his hands on people and putting them into super bliss. Well, that was his way of deceiving them into thinking he was God. Why did this guru have all his energy? Because he was consorting with demons. Why did Hitler have all the energy that he had? He was deeply involved in the occult. He was demon-possessed. You say, how do you know he was demon-possessed? Because many of his top generals, who were also heavy-duty practitioners in the occult, said Hitler was demon-possessed. They were terrified of him. So the demons that possessed Hitler used him, gave him supernatural wisdom and boldness and aggression, and the demonic powers entered Adolf Hitler, amplified his human talents and abilities, gave him supernatural spellbinding charisma when he spoke to the massive crowds and stadiums in Germany, gave him military instructions, and that's why Hitler was able to take a broken Germany and in just a matter of years build up its military, build a rocket program, build biological warfare, mind control programs, cause the economy to roar. How was he able to do this in such a short period of time? He was relying on satanic demonic energy. You see, it amplified and enhanced his natural gifting. But because people were praying, because the allies in the physical dimension were invading, by the grace of God, his spell, his Luciferian control was broken, and thank God he's dead. So, in America right now, there, if we were to look at America from an invisible realm perspective, there are invading principalities and powers that are attempting to come into America. There are strongholds attempting to come into America. Sadly to say, a large percentage of the media has decided to be a portal, to function as a portal to communicate the emotional contagion of fear and confusion, and to stir up dissension and to stir up strife between racial groups, ethnic groups. The media is functioning as a demonic portal to arouse anger and hatred between Democrats and Republicans, who in times past may have disagreed, but they weren't mortal enemies. There are three forces that are attempting to subvert America and bring it down. The first force is there are secret high level organized groups that are very aware of what I would call science fiction type technology, which is available now. These groups are exploiting technology in the form of electromagnetic frequency waves, which can produce desired emotions like panic, hatred, violence. These people are aware of that. That's part of what 5G is about. So these people understand the psychological and the technological mechanisms that can produce fear and dominate a nation. Number two is they know the power of occult forces, and they piggyback occult demonic forces on the technologies of fear. And then finally, they understand how to spread fear and embed fear into people's subconsciouses via the portals of media, music, television, etc., etc. And they are functioning as agents, whether it's conscious or not, they're functioning as Luciferian agents attempting to overthrow America as a free nation, all right? Because they want to move it into a globalist nation. So we're in the last days. What do we do? We utilize the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then we recognize and train ourselves in the fact that we have incredible power, incredible force, supernatural guidance, supernatural anointing, the promises of God, the chariots of fire, the angelic armies, God Himself, the anointing on God's people. The people of God, the supernatural body of Christ, is heavily, heavily armed and spiritually dangerous because it possesses, and at least a percentage of the body of Christ possesses and is proficient in the use of their spiritual weapons. Words of wisdom, prophetic words, all kinds of ways of getting supernatural insight and guidance that the enemy can't figure out how we know certain stuff. It's because we're receiving the information or receiving the intelligence supernaturally. And so, remember the story of Joshua and Caleb. They were commanded by God to go into the promised land filled with Nephilim giants and take the land of Canaan. The first group of spies were religious children of Israel. I would say the first group of spies that God sent into the promised land were kind of like the typical evangelical Christian. You know, they knew God, but it was a very lukewarm relationship. So when they went into to Canaan, they panicked. They saw giants. They freaked out because the giants were physically more powerful than them. And they told God a evil report and said, "There's giants in the land, we can't take it." God was disgusted with their lack of faith. But Joshua and Caleb went into the land to spy it out. Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. That's the spirit you're part of and I'm part of. We're of a different spirit, okay? The genuine Holy Spirit. And Joshua and Caleb said, when they looked at the giants, they saw the giants like grasshoppers in their eyes. And then they said, when the giants looked at us, they saw us like giants and themselves like grasshoppers. What was it that caused this profound reorientation in their visual, psychological perception? The reality didn't change. How come Joshua and Caleb had their minds reframed according to faith, and they saw it through the positioning of a faith-based perception? Well, what happened was Joshua and Caleb were going into the promised land, and they were no longer ruled by a spirit of fear like the other spies. They were ruled by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, the same Spirit that would come upon David and so many others, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they were supernaturally bold. They were supernaturally fearless. Therefore, the supernatural boldness, the Spirit of God, altered their perception. And they truly did see the so-called giants as little grasshoppers. And it supernaturally moved through the dimensionality and caused the giants to perceive Joshua and Caleb as if they were giants, and they looked at themselves like grasshoppers. So the lesson here is, there could have potentially been strongholds, but because the strongholds were obliterated or removed, they were functioning. Even though Christ hadn't yet revealed himself, they were functioning with the mind of Christ. They were functioning with a renewed mind, which meant their minds, the minds of Joshua and Caleb, were functioning at the level of the mind of Christ and functioning within the principle of sound-mindedness. And the spirit of fear didn't exist in their minds, see? And so when they came back to the Lord, they said, we are well able to conquer the land. So this wasn't some fantasy trip. They were going to execute what they did. And God called that a good report. So here we are in America, and we see areas of the nation spreading the coronavirus. Think of it as a battle zone. We have that happening. We have what medications, what procedures, what protocols. We have some governors and stuff, mayors doing a good job, some doing a lousy job. A lot of confusion in the air. The media, once again, the media, mainstream media, once again, is using this to spread confusion because their owners, the globalist elite, operate on the occult principle of order out of chaos, which means manufactured crisis. So using the occult blueprint for conquest, the occultists and globalists who are trying to take down America and turn it into a Babylonian New Atlantis global government, the occultists who rule our nation are attempting to bring our nation down with satanic power. However, the name of Jesus, no pun intended, triumphs over their power because the name of Jesus is more powerful. And so, to the degree that we pray and fast and engage in spiritual warfare, and this means you learn from the Word of God the power of binding and loosing. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have the privilege from God to penetrate into the heavenlies, to penetrate through this physical dimension into the spiritual dimension. And what we pray in believing prayer, lined up with the authority of our words, we have the power to bind up, restrict, block, and curse anything which we deem to be evil or an enemy. We can break it in the invisible realm, the origination point. And we can destroy strongholds and false belief systems in people's minds through this same high velocity power of prayer. This is high level spiritual warfare. Now, we have to have read the Word. We have to read Christian books. We have to pray in order to understand that God has a prophetic destiny for America. Look, you know, I'm going to break it to you. You probably know it. If you didn't know that you were in the last days up until recently, I think most of you know by now we're in the last days. We're at the end of the age. There are so many things that could happen in the immediate future. And I'm not predicting when Christ is coming because I don't know when he's coming. But there are so many prophetic signs happening at the same time that we are on the precipice of potentially entering the Great Tribulation. Behind this coronavirus epidemic is another epidemic super crisis. In a sense, the coronavirus epidemic is obscuring from us an even more devastating crisis, and that is the global financial crisis that is looming behind the coronavirus epidemic. And by that I mean many of our major banking and financial institutions were moving towards being bankrupt or hyperinflation. They were going in a, our financial institutions globally were going in a very bad direction with excessive debt, inflation, et cetera, et cetera, long before the coronavirus broke out. We were spending more than we had all across the world. The deficit spending. So the coronavirus has been used in part to conceal the economic crisis. Now, what is the economic crisis, and what do we do about it as supernatural members of the body of Christ? If you've been reading my books and watching my videos and reading my articles and listening to the radio program, you know that several years ago, my books are standalone, but they're all also written to be viewed as volumes, like volume 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It doesn't say that, but my books are designed to be an entire Bible prophecy curriculum that starts you off light and grows you and grows you and grows you. So I'll just name a few of the books. They're part of a curriculum, or you can read them alone. But to get the full power of it, you complete the curriculum. So we have The Day the Dollar Died, which talks about the truth of the economic system. We have A Prophecy of the Future of America, which talks about what's going to happen in the near future, plus a vision I had, and I only claim to have one vision, of a biblical great awakening in America. We have the novel I wrote, The Warning, which is a prophetic novel. We have Standing Down Goliath. We have Conquering the Matrix, which is all about scientific mind control, programming, and the occult, and how to be free from that, how never to be enslaved by subtle hypnosis and mind control. Then we have the two best-selling books I wrote with my partner, Troy Anderson, The Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse, two of the best-selling book prophecy books of all time. Then we have The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And in addition to the first prophecy of the future of America, really volume 2 of that is A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, because I shouldn't have put 2016-2017, because it doesn't have an end date. But A Prophecy of the Future of America and A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 should be read as volume 1 and volume 2. The second part, the second book, deals all with economics and how to prosper supernaturally in the last days. It deals with Joseph in Egypt. It deals with the prophet Daniel. It deals with the middle class and how the middle class can experience a massive economic rebound. It's a powerful book, and I'm sorry I didn't name it with the right title. Nobody who has read Volume 2, Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, along with Volume 1, A Prophecy of the Future of America, has not been blown away and helped. It will teach you, and I'm not a name it and claim it prosperity gospel preacher, as all of you know, but it will teach you how to generate wealth. I'm not promising you Cadillacs, caviar dreams, and champagne, and you know, I'm not promising you that. This isn't The Bachelor. I'm promising you that it will teach you how to generate wealth for the kingdom and for yourself, borrowing from the lessons of Solomon and Joseph. So I tell you that to say that the people This is a very simple truth, but it's hard for a lot of people to grasp. There are about 12 to 13 families or individuals who rule planet Earth. At the top of that pyramid on the back of the dollar with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. They primarily rule the Earth because they control the international banking system. In Europe, those banks are known as the central banks, and in the United States, it's known as the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a central bank. What is a central bank or a Federal Reserve? It simply means that in every nation that has a Federal Reserve or a central bank, those Federal Reserve banks or central banks control all the money supply in any particular nation. So, for example, in the United States, the Federal Reserve controls everything to do with our financial system. It controls interest rates, it creates recession, depression, inflation, and when the head of the Federal Reserve came out the other day and said they're going to, this is a paraphrase, that they were going to print an endless amount of trillions of dollars. And essentially what he said is, we can keep printing money forever. Trillions of dollars we can keep printing forever. And he said, that's how we're going to solve this problem. But you see, what he did is he openly said before all America and the world, but America's too dumbed down because of the educational process, to realize he just gave away the big secret of the Federal Reserve, which is the Federal Reserve controls our American monetary system, but everybody in the Federal Reserve is an international banker. Many of them are from foreign nations, and they represent the wealthiest families in the world, like Rockefeller, Rothschild, so on and so forth. The reason they can print an infinite amount of trillions of dollars is because their whole gig is they've been printing money from nothing since ancient Babylon and before. That means through printing presses, through papyrus, whatever you use to write some kind of paper currency, going back to Babylon and before, and going to modern times where they use printing presses, the Federal Reserve and the central banks, and this began in ancient Babylon, have the power to print an unlimited supply of currency, but they don't have to have anything to back it up. In other words, it's just worthless paper. They don't have secret vaults and banks with gold and diamonds and something to back up their paper money. It's all a confidence game. It's all an illusion. It takes religious faith to believe the dollar has value, because if you really analyzed it, well, it does have value in one sense. The military might of the United States and some of the European unions, the military might of the United States and some of the chief nations in the European Union, because we have collectively military technological superiority on planet Earth, we are able to manipulate energy prices, specifically the petrodollar, which acts as a form of a backup, a tangible backup to our dollar. Now, that's true. But before the Federal Reserve took over our banking system, you used to have, for every dollar, you had to have an equal amount of silver or gold in a bank to back it up. And the dollars didn't used to say Federal Reserve note. You used to be able to take a stack of dollar bills, this was many years ago, you could go in a bank and exchange your stack of dollar bills for gold or silver anytime you wanted to. So you had a tangible asset. Today, you cannot take your Federal Reserve dollars and go into the bank and exchange it. You can't say, okay, here's $100 cash. I want whatever that buys me in silver coins. That used to be your legal right. The bankers wrote the laws, and you don't have that right. You go into the bank, they won't give you any gold or silver. They will not allow you to exchange the worthless piece of paper for something tangible. On top of that, many of you don't realize it, but a number of years ago, when you signed your contract with the bank, which you probably didn't read because we don't have time to read our AOL contracts, our Amazon contracts, our, you know, they're drafted by lawyers. They're 30 pages long. But if you read the fine print, most of the banks that you're depositing your money in fine print, it says, and our Congress passed this, by the way, both Republican and Democrat, it says in fine print that when we put our money in the bank, we no longer own that money. The bank owns our money. That's important. And on top of that, the bank is allowed to invest our money, which means that if it's no longer our money, the bank has allowed to is allowed to invest our money, and should they lose our money in an investment, they're protected because we signed a contract saying we know they're investing and that we're just going to have to eat it if they lose the money. But most of all, this is kind of frightening. Most people have no idea, including the bankers. The bankers, the local branches, they don't know. When you put your money in the bank, you've now signed a contract saying you don't own that money. The bank does. That is crazy. And the only reason they can get away with that is they have the absolute power to buy any politician they want.